Hello, boxing fans around the world. Thank you for joining me once again here on Talking Fight, another episode of Boxing News Today. And today it gets weird. I mean, yes, we've got a decent fight coming up that, as we all know, isn't selling very well, either ticket-wise or online through pay-per-view. But we're not going to talk about that. As I'm scanning the internet, looking for various headlines and stories to provide to you, not only in the world of sports, but in the world of entertainment, quite frankly, this is what I come up with. And I gotta admit, this one is a tad weird, simply because you have to ask yourself why. So, as we all know, Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk are about to duke it out for the undisputed heavyweight championship. It's going to be shown, you know, May 18th on Sky Sports, as we all know, and it's going to be fought in Saudi Arabia. So out of curiosity, why did the WBC have the Pope sign and bless this particular belt? This headline caught my eye, and this is where we're going to start off the show, just for shits and giggles, because I am curious. Now, I haven't read the story, so if I do inexplicably start giggling like a schoolgirl, you'll know why. Okay, all right, here we go. The WC has commissioned a new title belt for the Fury versus Usyk fight. With Ukrainian and British emblems on either strap, WBC President Mauricio Suleiman took the belt to the Pope, who blessed and signed it, as I explained. Okay? And here is his quote from Suleiman. Pope Francis has a foundation. I learned there was a program called Football with Values. I proposed to the Pope to do boxing with values. So he accepted, immediately embraced boxing. Since that day, we've been doing a lot of activations and training and going out trying to teach values through boxing with thousands of people around the world. We've had the opportunity to meet Pope Francis before the pandemic and now after the pandemic. So I brought the belt. He blessed the belt. He signed it. Signed one side of the strap, and he said, I must sign the other side. Otherwise, the fighter's going to think I'm cheering for him and not the other. So doesn't he have a favorite? He's looking forward to May 18th, apparently, says Suleiman. Boxing and the Holy See are perhaps an unlikely combination, but Suleiman insists the Pope recognizes the social values that the sport can embody. People are taken out of the streets and into the gym, Suleiman said. He, the Pope himself, made the comparison of the cobra and the mongoose. The mongoose is a little rat. The king cobra is the most terrifying snake, yet the mongoose beats the king cobra. And he makes the analogy saying that in life, sometimes you have to know your weaknesses and your strengths. Use them and always know the weakness of your enemy. So the mongoose uses speed and movement, and he beats a cobra. He told me that the first time I met him, says Suleiman. So whether the Pope thinks Usyk will be the mongoose to Fury's cobra, we do not know. We'll all have to wait until May 18th to find out. But, okay, so did that really answer my question and your question? Why did the Pope sign and bless it? Because he was asked to? Because he was paid to? I don't know. You know, I was in Nicaragua about 10 years ago. And on the office wall of Senor Pelas, the gentleman I was meeting, was a picture of him and the Pope. So I said to Senor Pelas, I said, wow, you ended up meeting the Pope, did you? And he goes, oh, yeah. You can buy those things. So let me go on to another story before I get carried away with stories about why people do certain things. Let's talk about why Bill Haney went a bit nuts at a press conference. Here in Canada, there are certain hockey arenas that will not allow parents into the hockey stands to watch their kids play because they apparently just get too excited, too emotional, too quote unquote crazy. And although I've worked over the years with many, many, many types of people, Bill Haney typifies crazy, okay, in the sense of he's getting emotional about his son being in the ring, fighting Ryan Garcia. Let's have a quick look about some of the words he threw around at a recent press conference. And we all know, okay, Garcia, he's 24-1, right? We all know that Bill Haney would like to see his son, Devin Haney, fight Tank Davis, but that's not going to happen. Too much of a weight differential there. We all know that Haney himself is 31. No, he's got 15 knockouts. So this is what Father Bill said. At first, I wanted Devin to go beat him, but now I wanted to kill him. Okay, all right. It's fine that you want a knockout for your son, but this kill stuff is kind of a bit psycho. You're overdoing it there, Bill. So let's just let Devin do his thing, and you need to calm down. Let Devin's skills speak for himself, you know, on the night in question coming up in a couple of days. But anyway, he goes on. He says, do everything in his power to kill him for all the disrespect. In New York, there's no better place to do it and get away with it. A legal homicide. The guy who calls himself TBE, probably the best ever. Floyd Mayweather Jr. said Ryan was one of the three faces of boxing. We definitely can't get Canelo, and Tank Davis is running from us. This is Bill Haney continuing. We're left with the next person on the list, Ryan Garcia. We're going to chop his head off, and then we're going to go look for Tank. No, we're going to wait on Tank because you can't go look for Tank. That's what they said, right? I've got the best fighter in the world, so my voice is a lot louder than it used to be. It just means his fat ass is going to get beat up more. Said Bill, when told that Ryan might fail to make weight on Friday. We want to put him, that's Ryan Garcia, in the rearview mirror, not just for us, but for boxing in general. So a dominant performance, the way we plan on doing that, it's going to secure what we want. God, that guy's nuts. All right, as you all know, the odds makers out there, they favor Devin Haney in this particular fight anyway. So Ryan Garcia is the underdog, just in case you're looking at placing a few dollars on this one. If you think that Ryan Garcia is just pretending himself to be crazy, and if you want to talk about crazy, and we have talked about crazy Ryan Garcia and the things he's done of late and said of late. So let's move along to a little more serious side of boxing here. Let's go down to see what's happening. Unbeaten junior middleweight Xander Zayas, he's 18-0, 12 knockouts, is poised to kick off Puerto Rican Day Parade weekend by facing former world champion Patrick Teixeira. He's 34-4, by the way, in a 10-round clash that's scheduled for ESPN June 8th at the Theater Madison Square Garden. Zayas and Teixeira marks 19 years since the Top Rank initiated its parade weekend tradition with Miguel Cotto against Muhammad Abdulyev. In the 10-round featherweight co-feature, Bruce Shushu Carrington, 11-0, one of our favorites here on Talk and Fight, certainly a favorite of Mike Gore and his show, Knuckle Up. He's been featured quite a few times. Anyway, Shushu aims to extend his knockout streak against Jose Enrique Vivas, 23-3. Let's have a quick look here. Said Bob Arum, this is great. New York City cards featuring two young men, Xander Zayas and Bruce Carrington, who are poised to become two of the biggest stars. Our Puerto Rican Day Parade weekend cards are always special, and I can't wait for another raucous atmosphere. I'm sure he'll get it. Let's fly around the world. Let's land in Montreal. Another big card on tap for the Cabaret Casino in Montreal, June 6th. Topped by a clash between local middleweights Stephen Bang Bang Butler, he's 34-4-1, and Patrice Vicious Volney, 18-1, for the WBC Francophone title on ESPN Plus. In the co-feature, IBO super middleweight title holder Osles Iglesias, he's 10-0, 9 knockouts, will defend his belt against Evgeny Shevchenko, 16-1-1, in a scheduled 12-rounder. Also scheduled, Arthur Biashlanov, 14-0. Leila Baudouin, 11-1. Luis Santana, Johan Orobio in separate bouts. Good stuff out of Montreal for sure. Let's move along and see. Oh, yes, this particular story I found just for you. What's going to happen after Arthur Bitabev fights with Dmitry Bivol? as we all know, Bitterbiv is being trained out of Montreal and got a 20-0 career going on. Bivol, for his part, also undefeated, 22-0. So what are we looking at in terms of who wins and who they want to fight? In terms of betting, it is close. I mean, who knows who's going to win this one? It's going to be a great fight. Anyway, one of the fighters that will come out, I'm sure, the undefeated David Benavidez. He's 28-0. Okay. And of the 28 win, out of the 28 wins, 24 knockout. So David Benavidez, he'll be up there. Now, according to whether he'll be the next contender for the light heavyweight titles remains to be seen, as it's clear that his focus is currently elsewhere, according to his manager and promoter, Samson Liquids. Benavidez is likely going to test himself against a former light heavyweight champion in Oleksandr Gvozdik on June 15th. So Benavidez in the short term won't be available anyway. And nor will Saul Canelo Alvarez, who everybody seems wants to fight. But he, as you know, is going to be facing Jaime Munguia on the Cinco de Mayo weekend. That'll be for the super middleweight title, undisputed, taking place on May 4th. And let's add a little bit of icing on the cake here. It's been rumored that Alvarez would want $150 million to fight Benavidez. Although Lukowitz has stated his client would only want a $5 million pot. Anyway, so now there's lots of talk about what's going to happen after these two Russians go head-to-head. I think Bivol trains out of L.A. these days. And as I said, Beterbiev is out of Montreal. But nonetheless, when these two Russian dudes go at it, it's going to be a great, absolutely great, fantastic fight. And who knows what will happen to the winner and to the chap who learns a little bit in the ring that night. Speaking of learning in the ring, wow, this fella is unstoppable. Nayana Inoue returns to the ring to defend his undisputed titles against Luis Neri next month. The monster hasn't been in action since a dominant stoppage win over Marlon Tapales in December of 2023. That's, 4 or 5 months ago. So this win came after a four-weight world champion Stephen Fulton victory in a brutal bout in July of 2023. Now he faces former two-weight world champion in Luis Neri, who was once a highly touted fighter. Neri has previously fought in Japan against Shinsuke Yamanaka, beating him via technical knockout in the fourth round, but failed a drug test after the fight, but it was later ruled to be due to contaminated food. Neri rematched and beat Yamanaka, but failed to make weight for the bout and was subsequently banned from fighting in Japan. But now he's back to fight in the land of the rising sun, however. But this time he's up against arguably, not even arguably, their greatest fighter ever in a way. Neri has a boxing record of 35 wins, 25 via knockout, and 1 loss. And Inoue simply is undefeated in 26 of his bouts. That will be a great fight as well, and one to look out for, without a doubt. We have we've been featuring an awful lot of fighting from Japan as well as the Philippines, because we really believe it's been under-promoted, if you will, to North American and certainly European audiences. But Inoue is big money. He is a great fighter. The bout that I talked of between Neri will be taking place at the Tokyo Dome in Tokyo. It's going to be a massive crowd. You might ask who's on the card. Inoue and Neri, they're fighting for the IBF, WBA, WBC, and WBO super bantamweight title. Also on that card, Jason Maloney is going to take on Yoshiki Takai. Takuma Inoue is up against Sho Ishida. And Saigo Yuri Akai versus Taku Kawahara. So I'm going to just wager that this is going to be just a great fight to watch. And watch, in a way, absolutely clobber Neri. Speaking of clobbering, it's always good to have Jared Anderson, one of our favorite heavyweight prospects here on the channel. Anyway, he's been called out by... by the 45-year-old former world title contender Luis Ortiz. Wow. Okay, this comes on the heels, as we all know, of a pretty boring event down in Texas, where Anderson won over Riyad Mahr, where the crowd was actually boring the performance. Too bad. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, Anderson won. Now, Luis Ortiz is 34-3, but he's a bit of an aging veteran. Anyway, he took to social media to answer the challenge. Anderson 17-0, 15 knockouts. The challenge, what Bob Arum put out. Okay, so this is in response to Bob Arum, quite frankly. He said, "We're looking for a heavyweight who thinks he can actually beat Jared Anderson. We need someone brave enough to get in the ring with Jared and give him a real battle. There's no one he would be reluctant to fight at this point." In my mind, I would like to see him go over to potentially Wembley and have a fight with Otto Wallin, or bring Otto Wallin to Madison Square Garden. Anyway, so Ortiz took to social media shortly after the tweet to fire back. "Good afternoon, boxing fans. This is a message for Bob Arum," Ortiz said in Spanish, which was duly translated on social media. "Bob Arum, if you are truly looking to test Jared Anderson, give him to me. I can assure it will be a great fight and a nightmare for Jared Anderson." Well, there you go. Ortiz, by the way, he's 3-2 in his last five fights, with a win over Charles Martin, and his losses coming to Andy Ruiz and Deontay Wilder. So I don't think anyone's going to take that any more seriously than the entertainment value that I just gave it right now. So speaking of entertainment, we've got I mentioned it the other day, but this 5v5 tournament, Queensbury and Matchroom have that is satisfying, you know, British boxing fans' curiosities with respect to who's going to fight who, who's going to champion who. At the end of the day, there was a big kerfuffle about Deontay Wilder being named captain of the Matchroom team. Nonetheless, on this particular fight, let me just quickly, Deontay Wilder, Zhilai Zhang, okay, Hamza Shariz, who's captaining the Queensbury team, Emma Williams, they're going to be the big, who's going to be middleweight there in terms of champ? Can Nick Ball unseat WBA featherweight champ Ray Ford? And can Daniel Dubois beat Filip Hrgović, the man from Croatia who has better dreams, I think. Anyway, for those who have spent years following and being frustrated by the conflict between Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn, it is the light heavyweight clash between Queensbury's Willie Hutchinson, 17-1, and Matchroom's Craig Richards, 18-3-1, which truly embodies a rivalry between the promoters, says BoxingScene.com. The fight is the only all-British clash on the show and the type of fight which boxing politics has prevented from happening for years. Up and down the weight divisions, both sides of the promotional Cold War have been hurt by their own stubbornness as fighter after fighter has tried to jump the chasm to world class without accumulating the experience and confidence which comes from winning a high stakes domestic fight. Hutchinson versus Richards is a rock solid clash which will decide which promotional company has a fighter capable of moving onwards and upwards. Although Richards' name has been linked to the show for some time, Hutchinson's inclusion only became a possibility after he stopped Martin Huben in two rounds last month. So Richards says, "There are a few names. I think they actually went through them one by one. If he didn't do it, then it was him. They weren't sure if he's going to be good enough. So lots of mix and changes for so many different reasons. But eventually, it was only like a couple of weeks ago, I heard it was Willie Hutchinson." Richards continued, "I was just like, look, whoever it is, it is. I really don't care who's on the other side of the ring. I'm going to go do my job. And that's ended up being so be it." Right? Richards has been boxing on the Matchroom shows for an entire career, starting his professional journey, a low profile, back in 2015, quite frankly. So he's had some opportunities along the way, but this is probably bigger and probably the most well-paid fight, I'm sure, win or lose. great fighters out there in the women's division. Let's have a quick look. Hannah Rankin, we haven't spoken to her in a while. We have featured her several times on Talk and Fight, interviewed her a couple of times without doubt. Great young gal out of Scotland. Former world champion Hannah Rankin returns to the ring on April 26th to fight WBA Continental Super Welterweight Belt Naomi Manis. That'll take place in Liverpool, United Kingdom. The Scottish boxer Rankin, who's currently ranked number 6 in the WBA Women's World Rankings at 154, where she reigned as absolute champion since 2021 when she beat Maria Lindberg in the ring. Rankin made a successful defense in Glasgow in May 2022 after defeating Alejandra Ayala by 10th round technical knockout. But Rankin was then defeated by an explosive Terry Harper. In her desire to return to the top of the rankings and have another chance at world title, Rankin will face Germany's Manis, who at 29 years old also has the same desire to win the world title. Rankin will arrive with a record of 13 wins, 3 knockouts, and 7 setbacks, while Manis has 6 wins, 4 of which were a quick decision, 2 losses, and 1 draw. Good stuff. In other women's news, let's pop over to Germany, where we see there's going to be a bout between Argentina's Ara Altamirina, who will fight against Turkey's Elif Nur Turhan in Leverkusen, Germany. All right, this is for the WBA's super featherweight gold belt, and they will fight on May 4th. Last January, Altamirina was present in Madrid, where she fought against local star Jennifer Miranda for the gold feather belt, but despite her good form, she did not get the victory. Altamirina is ranked number 9 in the WBA rankings at 126, but this time she'll try and up the ante by moving to 130 and win, hopefully, the coveted gold featherweight crown. But in front of her, she'll have a tough Turkish boxer, Promise, who keeps her numbers clean with 7 wins, including 4 knockouts and no defeats. Elif Nur Turhan made his professional. What? As I thought these were women. Yes. Bit of a typo there. Elif Nur Turhan made her professional debut in 2022, but has continued to shine on the IBA circuit until the first quarter of last year. Turhan is 29 years old and is a positive figure among the world's elite, as she has managed to seed Altamirina's for her amateur career to widen her professional record to 9 wins, 1 loss, and 1 draw. And by the way, the 27-year-old Argentinian representative will be looking forward to this new opportunity against the Golden Tents with Turhan. So there you go. It's a couple of fights in the ranks of... this will be interesting. As you know, we've had some pretty decent boxing movies made of late, going all the way back to the 70s. Earlier than that, but certainly in the past couple of decades, we've seen some decent boxing movies, feature films. And now we've got a biopic coming out on Prince Nassim Hamad. He was a British Yemeni fighter, popular a decade or so ago. But anyway, let's quick read here on boxing247.com and see what they have to say about the new movie coming out about him. Reports from publications such as Variety have informed us how another boxing movie is soon to be in the works, this one to give former featherweight banger Prince Nassim Hamad the biopic treatment. And yes, it's not a typo. Former James Bond Pierce Brosnan is set to star in the movie. No, not as Hamad, but as his great trainer, Brendan Ingle, which may seem to you like one big dose of crazy casting. It sure does to me, says James Slater, the writer of this article. While Brosnan will be the biggest star to appear in the film, it's been reported how Amir El-Masri will take on the role of the love him or hate him Hamad. Also, Sylvester Stallone, who you may remember from one of those Rocky movies or two, will come on board as one of the executive producers of the film that will be directed by Rowan Atala. Popular among his titles is The Rise. More details will be forthcoming, but the film will begin shooting later this month, and if it's done right and is an accurate telling of the Hamad story, could be one to watch. It's going to be called tentatively Giant. Today, James goes on to say, we've seen too many boxing biopics fall flat. The recent big George Foreman film, for example, coming as a real disappointment to some. But when they're done right, such as The Fighter and its telling of the Mickey Ward story, is a shining example. Boxing biopics can be great stuff. Ahmed, by the way, was a truly polarizing figure. Really did light up the featherweight division back in the 1990s and early 2000s. The British Ahmed fighter attracted huge audiences, first in the UK and then America, with his flamboyant approach combined with his chilling punch power, making him box office material. If this film proves to be a warts and all affair and not mere vanity, it could prove to be a compelling piece of work. One could say Ahmed himself was a compelling piece of work. Ahmed was far from everyone's taste, in and out of the ring, and there have been some darker events in his life. He was jailed for dangerous driving in 2006, and the by-now-retired fighter stripped of his MBE as a result. We'll have to see how the film treats its subject along with the good, honest truth. Ahmed is now 50 years of age. He won the WBO and IBF featherweight titles. He fought in some 16 world title fights. Ahmed lost just once to Marco Barrera. It'll be really interesting to see how the film covers that particular aspect. And he retired shortly thereafter with a 36-1 record, 31 knockouts. A film about the prince has been in the works for some time, is now one finally heading into production. Well, boxing fans, that's what I got for you today. Thanks very much for joining me. Appreciate it. Remember to like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell. And we'll see you later on TalkinFight.com. Please join me at 11 a.m. live Eastern Time, Monday to Friday.